From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, excited to be joined by another great panel. We'll introduce them in a second, but before we do, we want to remind you that DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. And make sure to download our podcasts each week on the web or on iTunes. Those are free downloads for you anytime and any place. So let's get to the panelists that we have in studio today. Our first guest is Eric Tusink, the managing partner at Williams Tusink LLC. Now, Eric, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the background of your firm.
Williams Tusink is a, we'll call it boutique law firm located in downtown Decatur in the historic High House. We have five attorneys. We specialize in business, corporate, and real estate law, both transactionally and in litigation.
We have a lot of lawyers on our show, and they seem to come from all different parts of the legal industry. How did you zero in on that particular type of law?
I think, you know, honestly, odd answer. I believe what really got me started is I read Tom Wolfe's book, A Man in Full, about which was kind of a fictionalized version of the Atlanta real estate industry and kind of the commercial real estate industry in Atlanta. That was during my first year of law school. It kind of piqued my interest in commercial real estate and development and things of that nature. And so I started focusing on that in law school. I started my own firm. But this is a continuation of that firm immediately after law school, started with a wide area, but slowly kind of dialed it into corporate business and real estate focus.
Looking forward to talking about that entrepreneurial spirit coming up in just a minute. But let's introduce our second guest, Mike Shields from Surge 365 Travel. Tell us about Surge 365.
All right. Well, Surge 365 is actually a new program that just came on board about the 2nd of March of this year. And we look at the travel industry as being the single most largest industry on the planet at $8.1 trillion. And just based on that fact, we know that a lot of people like to travel, love to travel, love to vacation. And based on that, we come up through technology of being able to guarantee a person the very lowest price in their, as far as their vacationing goes. Okay, and matter of fact, that's it's a private exclusive membership. Okay, and we guarantee it by 110%.
Are you a direct competitor of some of the big names out there, the AAAs and that sort of thing, or is it really different what you're doing?
This is really different. This technology that we now have, as of right now, no one else has it. Is I call it our Microsoft moment.
Okay, very cool. We'll look forward to talking more about that coming up. Let's go next to Carol Fisher. Carol's the president of Workplace Partners. Carol, we appreciate having you here today.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your business.
We are a specialty employee benefit company. We actually were established in 1995, and we've evolved benefits as the workplace has changed. And we work with small businesses and offer just a range of benefits.
Well, happy 20th anniversary to you and your business. Now, we met at a DeKalb Chamber function. Talk about the outreach to the business community. Does that help you to network?
Yes, networking is really important, and we make a point to do that with a lot of different community organizations and made some great contacts that way.
Well, our final guest is Bob Wehner. And Bob, you're in business with Carol there at Workplace Partners, but you're also with Legal Shield. Tell us about that.
Legal Shield is actually one of the specialty products that Carol offers to the business community one partway through the DeKalb County Chamber. Legal Shield's a 40-plus-year-old company nationwide. The basic premise, Matt, is that if you knew that you could call a high-quality law firm for any personal reason, whether it be trivial or traumatic, and not get a bill, would you call? And we had a company that did a survey. They're the same company that works for Target and Johnson & Johnson. But they surveyed about 30-some thousand people. And over 90% of the people said that if something like this were available, they'd be interested in learning more about it. So we're trying to take it to the local community.
Are you yourself a lawyer?
I am not. I'm a retired 30-year banker. But when I moved back to Georgia in 2000 with my wife, she had a Virginia will, I had a New Jersey will. neither of them were valid in Georgia. And someone introduced us to Legal Shield, and we got our wills, living wills, durable power of attorneys done, added the 529 for the grandchildren. And so we became a supporter, and I looked into it and thought, this is some way I could help other people give back.
We'll look forward to hearing more about that coming up. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Let's get back with our first guest, Eric Tusink, again from the firm Williams Tusink LLC. You can follow them on Twitter at Williams Tusink. So tell me a little bit about getting out of law school, and you decide, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to go work 80 hours as a clerk somewhere or a paralegal somewhere and work for somebody else. You went to work for yourself.
Yeah, go work. I went and worked 80 hours a week for myself instead for a lot less money at first, that's for sure. I think it was something that I always knew I wanted to do. It was my plan from the beginning to end up working for myself, with others, but for myself. I know that my grandfather had always told me that if you work for yourself, or if you go to law school, you never have to report to anyone. You'll always have a job. And so I kind of took that mentality into it. I think it was a lot had to do with the cost benefit analysis, is that there's the idea in many professions, banking, the law, accounting, of kind of golden handcuffs, is if you go and begin working for a firm and start making more and more and doing well in your career, it can become increasingly difficult to then leave and work for yourself of your own volition, because you become accustomed to earning that type of money. And so I realized as a poor law school graduate that I was hopefully never going to be as poor as I was at that exact moment. And so it presented the best opportunity for me to at that time to go ahead and do it. And it wasn't a situation, you know, I actually quit. I worked at a law firm while I was in school, and for the first 2 months after I passed the bar, and I had a job during a terrible legal market back in 2008, and actually probably did something very stupidly and quit that job after only 2 months to go do my own thing. So it was driven by a lifelong desire and also cold calculation.
Yeah, entrepreneurship's about taking chances. Talk to me a little bit about, I don't know if that's something the average law school graduate, someone who's just passing the bar, will do. I don't know if that's rare or if that is more frequent than we would think, but is the average person who's just getting out of law school, just passing the bar, mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s, whatever it is, are they equipped to do that and to go to work for themselves?
Yes and no, I guess. I guess I could say, I didn't know my... We're not FCC control, but from a hole in the ground on a lot of things when I first started out. I think if you're willing to have mentors and look to people you've worked with in the past, and there were a lot of great mentors, former bosses and things that I was able to go to. My current partner now is actually a mentor at that time. I think that can help a lot. I do know a good number of people who did it. Unlike me, much of that was driven by necessity. In and around the economic downturn in 2008 and 2009, and that there just weren't jobs out there. I think it's becoming increasingly common. I think the wider economy as a whole, you're seeing kind of this more idea of a gig economy, and with the inexpensive nature of technology and the low overhead that can be associated with having a law office, it's something that's accessible. Also, the legal industry allows you to do it. You know, other professions like, say, an architect, you have to have that apprenticeship period before you can become a licensed architect, and thus it's not an option for them. So, in fact, in the legal profession, it's something that you're able to do. So
how did you sell yourself at that point? You're a brand new law firm. You're a brand new lawyer. How did you get out there and get clients?
Yeah, it was definitely problematic in that, obviously, as an attorney, we're governed by the bar ethics rules, and obviously just governed by your own code of ethics, is that you can only represent your experience as it is, and your experience is very limited. So at that point, some of the things that you're competing on price, you're competing on working harder than the next guy. Obviously, your initial quality of client may not be precisely what you want. We were advertising on Craigslist for legal services, which is not something. And I was taking a lot of calls and doing a lot of free consultations. And so you have to just you cast a very, very wide net. And anybody who is willing to pay any sort of retainer amount, so long as there's no, you know, they're not presenting some sort of crisis of conscience, you're taking them on. So it was difficult, but we made it happen.
You chose to set up shop in DeKalb County, specifically here in Decatur. What's the legal environment, the legal culture like here in Decatur?
I mean, the only other legal kind of high-density legal area I worked in was in downtown Marietta at one point. But I can say that I think the collegial nature of the DeKalb County legal community, which is centered here in downtown Decatur, is fantastic. You know, you have the sophistication and the intelligence and the high-level work that you would see in a midtown or any large city, except for it's in more of a what feels like a small-town environment. They're really, honestly, anytime I walk across the square, there's not, I can barely think of a time where I haven't run into at least one lawyer, judge, court staff that I knew and said hello. It's just a, it is a fantastic to kind of have that small town feel in one of the largest counties in the state and so close to Atlanta. And so it's fantastic.
This is DeKalb Business Today. Matt Holmes talking with Eric Tusink from Williams Tusink. Talk about some of the clients that you have. What's the typical type of client you have at your law firm?
Our typical clients are actually very similar to our business. It's folks who are entrepreneurs, folks who have smaller businesses, property owners, developers, restaurant owners. You know, we're not representing the Bank of America's or Coca-Cola's of the world by any stretch of the imagination. And we're not even, you know, we're not representing $50 million companies, but we are representing folks who are starting companies 5-10 years into their companies, have had their company for a long time, but have kind of stayed small or family oriented. Vast majority of our clients are small businesses, though.
I assume you're not advertising on Craigslist anymore. So what is your current way to reach out to new clients?
I mean, I found that individual relationships are the best way to get high-quality clients, and that comes in a variety of ways. People you know in your neighborhood, people you've known all your life, people that you work with in various community organizations, and other lawyers that you've maybe had interactions with or even been on the opposite side of transactions or litigation with really represent the best way to get clients. Things like social media and, you know, a web presence, those things can back up and reinforce those relationships and allow clients to kind of get a feel for you. But obviously, fairly rarely is that going to be kind of the front door they come through.
We see a lot of lawyers get involved in politics, whether they're lobbyists, whether they're politicians running for office themselves. Is that something that you've got an interest in?
Yeah, our firm is pretty politically involved. I served as president last year of Red Clay Democrats, which is a young professionals Democratic Party organization. It's actually an outside PAC made up of Metro Atlanta 30 to 40 year old Democrats, founded by Jason Carter. Mm-hmm. My partner Kyle Williams, unfortunately unsuccessfully, had run for Senate District 42 against Elena Parent, which was the seat that Jason Carter vacated to run for Senate. So yeah, I mean, we're heavily involved in politics. I'm on the campaign committee for someone running for State House right now and hosting a lot of fundraisers for political candidates. So yeah, politics is a big part of what we do.
Last question for you before we move on. I understand you have an interest in craft beer.
Yeah. You asked for a list of topics. I was going to put Georgia football on there, too, if you want to talk about
that. We can get into that. It's only a couple weeks away.
Well, if you want to jack your listeners up, I think Georgia football is a good way to do it. It's something that I'm pretty heavily involved with, have done some representation for business clients involved in the industry. My younger brother, who formerly worked for us as a legal assistant and works over at the Brick Store now, my older brother has started Gate City Brewing up in Roswell, and I have hundreds and hundreds of beers stored in a beer cellar and in the fridge in my basement. It's something I'm very interested in. I got a profile in the Daily Report for my love of craft beer. I had said that I had hoped that my first profile in there would be for some, you know, billion-dollar verdict against mm-hmm. Halliburton mm-hmm. or something like that.
It's funny how that works out.
Unfortunately, it's for liking beer. So it's just a personal interest of mine and a good way to build personal connections with other folks who are interested in it.
Well, Eric Tusink, managing partner at Williams Tusink. You can follow them on Twitter at Williams Tusink. They're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WilliamsTusink. They're on LinkedIn. You can check out the website, WilliamsTusink.com. That's Tusink, TeuSink. Eric, we appreciate it, and we'll circle back around with you here in a couple minutes.
All right, great. Thanks.
Now, let's get to our next guest now, Michael Shields, the regional builder at Surge 365 Travel. Mike, you touched earlier on what the company does a little bit, but more on your background, because you were in the armed forces for quite a while, where I would imagine you did quite a bit of travel.
Yes, I was. I spent my first 4 years in the Marine Corps, which was not very career-enhancing because that was during the time of the Vietnam conflict. Spent roughly 13 months over in Vietnam as a machine gunner. I spent I loved the Marine Corps, but when they told me that I would have to go back to Vietnam, I wasn't going to push my luck a second time. Mm-hmm. So actually, I got out of the Marine Corps. I joined the Navy, where I spent the next 20 years, and retired from there as a chief petty officer. So life has been good. I have been to just about every country within the free world during my 24 years with the military service. But and I guess that's where my true love for travel started.
So talk to me about, we had on our last show a lawyer. She had served in Desert Storm, and so she's become involved with veterans' causes, and also it kind of shaped some of the aspects of her business and how she does business. What kind of lessons did you learn in the military that shaped the way that you run your business?
Well, one of the things that I've learned, so ironic that you would ask that particular question, but you got to be willing to help other people, okay? Respecting other people, and meeting people's needs. And I think that's one of the reasons why I also spent 17 years with the Department of Veterans Affairs, because I realized that as a retired veteran, I had a certain knowledge skill that I could take to the public. And then that was a good 17 years.
We're talking with Mike Shields from Surge 365 Travel. The website, surge365.com/MJShields. So talk to me about how people find out about you. What is it that you're telling them when they contact you about their travel needs?
Well, it's ironic that basically I don't tell them anything. People just love to travel. I have never met anyone that said that they didn't love, like the vacation. And during this day and time, with all of the different entities out here, your Expedias, your Travelocities, they're all very competitive. And the prices are typically within range of $15 to $20 of each other. And there's a reason for that. But we were able to, there was a new development that came out that kind of went completely outside of the mix of your traditional online travel, which, by the way, most people travel today. And if you put it under a relationship like your Costco's or your Sam's, you can't go into Sam's if you're not a member. Mm-hmm. Can't go into Costco's unless you're a member. And so it's the same thing with our company. You can't take advantage of the prices. As a matter of fact, the prices being so low that we can't even publicly, we can't put it on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. Now, we can talk about generalities, but we can't talk about the particular sites. And just to give you an example, imagine being able to go to Hilton Head for a week, and then I've been to Hilton Head several times. There's no way that you're going to be able to go there and spend a week and pay only $199 in a 4- and 5-star place. So these are the things that we're now bringing to the public, and the way we get it out is through social media, word of mouth.
Now, you had mentioned a 110% guarantee. I'm not sure I've heard that before when you talk about travel. Obviously, there are outlets where you can insure your trip, and they'll pay back a certain percentage or 100% or whatever, but talk to me about 110%
guarantee. 110%
guarantee,
because we started out and we advocate that we are the lowest, regardless. Now, with all things being equal, there may be a time that if you can find the same vacation spot for the same time frame over the same period of time and you get it for less, we will pay the difference by 110% because we advocate that we are the lowest price.
Tell me a little bit about, is it just individual travelers, families going on vacation, or do you also work with businesses?
Businesses, this, like I said, this is new technology that we're now bringing to the public. And when you look at business, and a lot of people are naturally doing, a lot of people are not traveling business-wise, but for those that do, just imagine that the bottom line is always the bottom line, being the lowest cost and how they can save money. they now have a way of saving money by using our services. And by the way, it also comes with a concierge service as well. Okay, so if you're going someplace, and this is global, if you're going somewhere overseas or if you're just going across the country and you want to know a nice place to eat or maybe to take in a nice setting or to go to a nice theater or something like that in an area that you're totally unfamiliar with, you can go through your concierge service and they can give you all that information as well.
Best way to find out more information is just go into the website or give you a call?
Give me a call and go to the website.
All right, there you go. Again, his website is surge365.com/MJShields. Mike Shields, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Let's move on to our third guest, Carol Fisher, again, the president of Workplace Partners. So tell us a little bit about who uses Workplace Partners services.
Our services are really used by businesses and nonprofit organizations, could be governmental. And we specialize right now in at Metro Atlanta small businesses. We try to be really consultative with them. We try to individualize and get to know them. Then from our menu of specialty employee benefits, we can do recommendations for them. We want to get a sense of who their workforce really is, because businesses vary quite a bit in terms of the demographics of their workforce. And our benefits are, some are a little more designed to the millennials, and others are designed to people near retirement. So we really work closely and do it on a personal basis with our small businesses.
So how does that relationship evolve? How do you make a client? How do you meet a client? And then how do you foster them through the process?
I would have to really echo what Eric said a little bit earlier. That's certainly been our finding too, that ultimately the relationship base and the website and the social media and all of that for our business enhances and backs it up, but it's still really relationship-based when you're trying to individualize and work in the community. So with a number of organizations like DeKalb Chamber of Commerce, other organizations similar, I am actually a licensed clinical social worker, and so I'm active with some of our professional organizations. So just a variety of things similar to that.
Tell us about how employers can benefit from what you all are doing.
Employers can benefit because our benefits really allow an enhanced recruitment for a small business. A lot of times small businesses aren't necessarily even offering health care benefits anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, people looking for a job are looking for the benefit part of the picture, as well as assessing the company. So if a small business can say, we do have benefits. We may not be able to cover your health insurance, but we have some other benefits that we have validated, we sponsor, that are there available for you. We offer employee assistance programs. Those are benefits, actually, that the employer picks up, but it's very cost effective. The secret is it's about $4 per employee per month. So an employer, even a pretty small business with 10 employees and up, can pick that up. And some of our other benefits, actually, we can coordinate where the employee is covering that. We can give discounts because it's through the employer, but the employee is paying directly because they've chosen that benefit. So it helps with recruitment for that small business. Retention, because a lot of studies show that there's a great loyalty to the employer if the employer is providing some valuable benefits for the employee. And it shows that there's some caring there about what really happens with the employee. Also, though, think about the enhanced productivity. If our benefits like employee assistance provide safety nets, ready resources, one phone call, if they or their families are struggling personally, employee doesn't just pack up those life issues and put them in the trunk of their car and walk into their workplace. Those issues are sitting, right there on their back. And so if they can just take a few minutes, call their EAP, which they're encouraged to do even during the workday, and get those resources lined up, then they can get back and focus at work.
Do you find that businesses are receptive or maybe even aware of the importance of having those benefits in place, especially for attracting new and good employees?
A lot of them are not necessarily so aware, especially if they're a small business. Small businesses, as we probably are mostly aware, are struggling with costs. A lot of times the budgets are real tight. There's not a fluff there. And so if they're looking just at that bottom line and those dollars, it may be hard for them to see until that's why we are relationship based. We may visit with people a number of times and let them see we've taken the time. We know a little bit now about what you're doing. This is the business case for you to offer these benefits, even though there are a few more dollars involved for you.
And the website is workplacepartnersllc.com. Again, Carol Fisher, the president of Workplace Partners. We appreciate you being here. We'll move on over to your business colleague, Bob Wehner, with Workplace Partners as well as with Legal Shield. So talk again about how you're related to that business, how Legal Shield is related to Workplace Partners.
One of the array of benefits that Workplace Partners wanted to make sure to accomplish what Carol just mentioned about people coming to work with issues that may have nothing to do with the workplace per se, but weigh on their mind and make them present, but not actively pursuing the goals that their employer wants them to do. So if we can relieve the stress and have someone else take care of it, it really works to the benefit of the organization that they're working for, as well as the employee. One of the things that Legal Shield does is we represent the world's leading risk management consulting company, which means we are the restoration company for identity theft. Hmm. Well, identity theft is the number one complaint at the FTC for the last 15 years, and it's obviously growing. We just had Ashley Madison with 39 million people.
Yeah, people talking about that.
Well, they are. They should have thought before that, but nevertheless. But we had Anthem just before that with 80 million people with a lot of disclosures about personal information, et cetera. Well, with our situation, they can make one call from their cell phone and be connected within three rings in an emergency basis to an American out in Oklahoma who within 5 minutes will put them either on the phone with an attorney in their state to protect their rights or to the Kroll background people that are the world's leading risk management consulting company that can take care of their issue.
Is anybody eligible to use Legal Shield? Are there requirements?
Anyone can apply. All you have to do is either have your employer through a payroll deduct pay for it, or you can pay for it as an individual family. This week already I've gotten three families that were referred to me from other clients because they had successfully used Legal Shield and they wanted their friends to be able to access it as well.
So for you, word of mouth is a big way to grow your business.
Word of mouth is a big way, absolutely.
What are the costs associated?
Costs are very, very reasonable. I'd say in the Atlanta area, probably the average attorney law firm is somewhere in the $200 to $500 range, depending on the specialty. With Legal Shield, it comes in at about $15 to $19.95 per month for a family. So that covers the husband, the wife, business or living partner. It covers children up to the age of 26 for the legal side, up to 18 for the identity theft side. So it's very, very, very reasonable. You think about $240 a year to protect your family. Just think about the percentage of people in Georgia that don't have wills but have children. They can get a will done for both spouses for that $240 living will, durable power of attorney, and testamentary trusts for the children.
Again, on identity theft,
yes.
How does your what Legal Shield is doing, how does that compare? How is it different from what other companies are doing?
Yeah, thanks for asking. That's probably the biggest single thing that we get to cheer about at work is that most identity theft programs are supporting or maybe helping you with a kit and guiding you through a process. And they may cover monitoring, they may cover financial. In fact, almost all of them cover at least financial. Some may cover Social Security. We cover driver's license, passports, medical information, and we cover 34 billion sites to see if somebody's misusing your information. That's a huge number, and it's more than our competitors. But the main difference is that we actually do the restoration for the people, so they don't have to take time off from work, because most of what you have to do to correct identity theft, you have to do during the day. So that's one thing. Plus, we have, as I mentioned, on your cell phone, we have a button that you can press that 24/7 gives you access to information you need to fix your life and put it back to where it was before it happened. Most of the others are during the business day.
I would imagine identity theft is one of those things that people don't maybe think about until they're actually victims of it. Is that something that you find?
Actually, we find that to be the case until we make a presentation. Mm. If we go into a company and make a presentation to, let's say, they have 40 or 50 employees, it wouldn't be surprising that anywhere from a third to two-thirds of those people, once they understand what's available and the unbelievably low cost, they sign up for it. We have great enrollment rates, and we have excellent utilization rates. Because most people, when they buy an insurance plan, they don't really want to use it. If you buy an auto policy, you probably don't want to use it. But we want you to use your legal and identity theft plan, even if it's just for informational purposes.
Bob Wehner from Legal Shield. Let's bring it back to the full table, because we got a panel full of people who are small business owners, entrepreneurs, which means you've taken chances, probably learned some lessons, both good and bad. And Eric, we'll start with you. If you're talking to someone who's fresh out of law school, thinking about going into the legal profession or starting up their own law firm, what have you learned?
That's a pretty broad question. It's like a job interview question there. The advice I would give to them would be that you really, when you're first starting out, and honestly the entire time, you have two jobs. Your first job is being in the office, grinding out the work, working on behalf of your clients, doing the day-to-day operations type tasks that you need to do. And then your second job is being out in the community and pressing the flesh and getting to know as many people as you can and beginning to build your network. And you really need to put as much, if you want to be successful, in my opinion, you need to put almost as much hard work into what might not be considered, a job per se, in going to lunches with people, going out for drinks with people, getting involved in organizations, and all those sort of things. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to do that. They want to get off work at, well, if this was 1975, I'd say 5:30. They want to get off work at 6:30. Go home, grab a beer, have dinner with their family, maybe watch a little TV and go to bed. And if that's what you want, you should really strongly consider maybe just going to work for somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to take that track. I mean, it can be a lot less stressful in a lot of ways. You know, when you take your paid vacation off, you know, you're on vacation. When I take my vacation off, I'm not making money for myself, and I'm continuing to, unfortunately, check email way too much. It's just, you have those two jobs, and, you know, I'm a parent of two kids under five, so I have three jobs, although my wife stays at home and helps out a lot. I mean, there's just, it doesn't end. When you work for yourself, you're kind of your own, this is kind of icky to say, I get your own personal brand, right? So mm-hmm. You're always your company, and you're always out there, and you know, you're always thinking about how whatever type of activity you're doing could possibly play back in, because that's how you're feeding your kids. So you need to be thinking about that all the time. And I don't mean that, you know, you shouldn't do things for altruistic reasons. You know, I think it would be pretty awful for someone to be going into their church thinking about, well, how can I make this go work for my business and things like that. But to some degree, everything plays into that. So if you're thinking that you want a job that ends at 6 o'clock in the evening, then working for yourself is probably not for you. And then additionally, I guess one big thing is that, and I really am negative on kind of these organizations, and some people here may be a part of them, and I apologize in advance, that are kind of networking organizations for networking's sake, mm-hmm. Power Core and things of that nature. I don't really buy into that as much, in that I think that it builds a very, very, a relationship which is only on the surface and has no
superficial.
Has no depth to it. Whereas you can get involved in organizations in your neighborhood. You can get involved in political organizations. You can get involved with your alma mater and join boards and do community service and see these people and build relationships that are actually based on something real, that are actually getting something done for your community, making the world a better place. I mean, that have some degree of fulfillment, and build deep relationships. And I think it's a better long-term strategy for relationship building and for your business to do those things. It's harder. It takes more time. And you may not see as many quick turnarounds as you might with something that's purely based on kind of this business networking. But I think that that's the way you have to go. And that's what myself, my partner, every attorney who comes to work for our firm, our summer associates, we stress, you know, if you're going to be a part of this firm, then you need to be a leader in the community. And what the community is could be the state of Georgia, the city of Atlanta, your alma mater, your university, Decatur, DeKalb County. I mean, it can be anywhere. But if you're not doing those type of things, then you are only going to get so far as far with your business development, with the relationships you have, with the ability to grow your business.
Mike, let me ask you, 24 years in a very regimented management structure in the armed forces, and now 9 years in work and business for yourself as your own boss. What's the biggest difference?
Well, the biggest difference is the fact that I no longer had the stress. Okay, you know, it's we are in a time and where a lot of people, you know, look back and we look at our system and the way things are working. You know, we're out of the industrial age. I'm a baby boomer. Okay, now you have the millennials, you know, Generation X. You know, you have individuals now, you know, you have a way of not only reaching within your community, but you have a way of reaching globally. Okay. You know, I don't miss, and I thought I would, you know, I used to, when I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs, I was getting up at 5:15 every morning. Okay. Maybe I'd go to lunch at 12, depending on, because I was in a production oriented type of environment. And you know, you had to, you know, you had to get permission on when you want, you know, if you wanted to take a vacation, when you went to the restroom, and when you got off of work. I mean, you know, just like Eric said, you know, even in that environment, you know, where the day would end at 3 o'clock, a lot of times it'd be 5 and 6 o'clock, you know, and that was a lot of stress. And I'm not saying that to demean it in any fashion, because everybody needs to do something. But I just knew that there had to be a better way. You know, it's a shame in our country, one of the richest countries in the world, that when someone retires today does not mean retirement, because they've got to go back to work in order to survive. So, and I didn't want to be put in that type of situation. So I've always had a entrepreneurial spirit, and I knew that if I can get into the right industry and the right structure with the right type of product, that I would never have to worry about that. And so I positioned myself, not only for myself, but my family. You know, my wife is looking at another two years before she retires, because she also works for the federal government. She's with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. But she knows it's going to be a retirement, you know. And sometimes she gets jealous because I do a lot of traveling. But traveling is fun. And I got to literally say that after I retired from corporate America, that it probably took about 10 years off of me.
Oh, and she knows a pretty good travel agent when she needs it for retirement. So
absolutely.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's okay. Carol, Bob, how about y'all? What have you learned from running Workplace Solutions?
I'll start and let Bob follow with me. I'm thinking now really about the people that are probably listening to this or will hear this information. And so to speak to those people who are on their journey and have that dream of having a small business. And I truly do believe that there is an entrepreneurial personality. And a lot of people don't really have that personality. So it's really necessary to give it some thought before you take that leap and start a business for yourself, and you give up that steady paycheck, for sure. You need to really have a business plan. You need to have mentors that can really give you good and sound advice. You have to realize the life-work balance. And I think formally you could keep your work and your life a little more separate, as several of us have referenced. But now I'm not so sure you can do that anyway. So that's another reason possibly to just take that plunge and say, okay, if I'm working 12 hours a day, but I'm building something that's for me, and there's going to be something left after I want to give it up for a little while. I've created something, then that's pretty exciting and powerful. But you do have to be having fun and enjoying the process and make sure that you keep the finances in balance, that you're realistic with what it takes.
Bob, what do you add to that?
When my daughter called me at 3 o'clock in the morning a few years ago, and said, "Daddy, I don't love accounting." I said, "Well, honey, what do you love?" And she said, "I think I want to be a nurse or a doctor." So I sent her the book, Do What You Love and the Money Will Come, parentheses, even if it doesn't, at least you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Be happy, okay? When I went to work, my father said, "Bobby, be nice, be nice, be nice, be tenacious." And you have to be tenacious. But you really, really do need to be nice. If you're nice to people, you'll find the type of customer you want, the type of relationship you want, and the type of people that you want to work with. There's so much going on in the world. Just focus on what makes you happy and what makes your family happy, and give back, and you'll do well.
All right. Eric, we'll finish with you. We'll put you on the record, on the spot. Georgia, SEC East champs this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be that SEC championship game that could be more problematic, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, there you go. You're on the record for that. That's Eric Tusink, managing partner at Williams Tusink LLC. You find them at williamstusink.com. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're on LinkedIn as well. Mike Shields, the regional builder at Surge 365 Travel. He's on Twitter and Facebook as well. Check out the website, surge365.com/MJShields. Carol Fisher, president of Workplace Partners. You find them workplacepartnersllc.com. And Bob Wehner with Workplace Partners and Legal Shield, his website, rjwehner.legalshieldassociate.com. That'll do it for another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. We will be back here next Friday at 10 a.m. with another great panel of guests. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time here on DeKalb Business Radio.